The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
All right, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Talking about, Kevin, I don't know what to say. I can't even open the show right. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to feel. The Redskins blown out last night to the New York Giants, 45-14 at home, Thursday night football. There was so much optimism, even after the loss in Philadelphia. You know, we felt good about Kirk Cousins. We didn't really feel good about the defense, but felt good about the team.
First of all, look, stop.
What do we do?
Just all you all who are making reservations for Kirk Cousins being enshrined into the Hall of Fame, you cancel those reservations right now. You know, just cancel it. It was putrid. That was the word I came up with last night. Putrid. Putrid. I mean, there was no excuse for a professional football team to play a home game, a division game, and to come out that flat.
And
not just
a home game and a division game, but a home game and a division game when you're 1-2 after a tough loss to another division team just a few days prior, and your back is really against the wall. I know it's early in the season. I know everyone. It's just four games in. It's early. No. Your back's against the wall. You're 1-2. 1-3 is a lot worse than 2-2. It's more than just one game difference between the two in reality. And to come out just flat. Like, let's not even talk about X's and O's right now. Let's talk about just the way the team came out and played. There was no fight and no energy the way that there was in Philadelphia. There was the team came out flat. They didn't seem ready to play. Didn't seem like they wanted to be out there. I don't know what the defense was doing. I don't know what this whole, you know, Jim Haslett Unchained defense is supposed to look like, but I hope it wasn't what it was looking like yesterday. They just seemed unprepared.
Hey, for all you people out there that thought that Shanahan was holding Haslett back, I have a quote for you.
You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Run amok.
This is the same Haslett that we have seen for years here. I don't know what it is. I know I'll show my age here, but there was a movie back in the 80s, was the 90s, called New Jack City.
Right.
When the premise was, they said, you got a New Jack type of criminal here, so you need a New Jack type of cop. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the appropriate phrase is for the 21st century, but you got a 20th century defensive coordinator, and you need somebody who's used to coping with a 21st century offense. He just doesn't get it done.
And I understand that there are there are injuries, you know, on the team, but everybody's got injuries. You know, I understand D Hall's out, you know, but when D Hall's in, you've got people complaining that he's, you know, getting burnt on deep coverage. They're all professionals. And at some point, you've got to say, you've got to cover the guy in front of you. You've got to get pressure on the quarterback. We're not talking about Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. I mean, before, you know, today and for the most part last week's game, Eli Manning was throwing interceptions left and right. There was one interception in the game, but they made Eli look like the Super Bowl Eli.
Well, you know,
when he hasn't been that for 2 years.
The problem here is the Haslett defense has always been too easy to dissect. I believe Phil Simms even said it a couple of times last night. Eli knew where he was going with the ball before the ball was snapped. You can look at the defense, which was designed to confuse Eli, ended up confusing themselves so many times.
There was a couple of blown coverages. I forget the linebacker's name. On
Robinson. Robinson. Prairie Riley got burned. Robinson got burned. Everybody, name your pick.
Vickers. Thinking he was supposed to blitz and then realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to blitz. And then he's beat and covered. Unprepared. Like, that's what, you know, because at some point in time, you look at the guys on the team, you're like, these guys are all professionals. They're professional football players. They, you know, at some point, you know, they got on the team and made the team on somebody's team for a reason, because they can play to a certain level. Last night, they were just unprepared. I gotta almost blame that on coaching. Now, we haven't even talked about those interceptions Kirk Cousins throwing.
Yeah, I got plenty for that. Let's think of where we are right now.
We've got issues. Yeah, we've got issues behind center. But let's talk about that defense. Unprepared. You look at the offensive line. Just can't block. I mean, cannot block. Columbus? Come on. What are we talking about?
No, well, see, here, I have a theory on that, too. I have a theory on that. When this, with this, quote, 21st century run and gun, you know, pass first, that type thing. What happens is you get the guys used to having a backpedaling mentality. When their first thought is they have to be moonwalking like Michael Jackson going backwards, right. That takes away their aggression, right? Mm-hmm. These guys got to get into the flow of the game. You got to start having them get aggressive, go forward, go towards the defensive lineman, and establish some type of dominance. When they're constantly back on their heels, mm-hmm. they're the victim here, right? Instead of being the aggressor. And the defense, there's some basic things I see, and as far like the linebackers, for instance, when you're in pass coverage, like when you're in Pee Wee League, they teach you how to backpedal and read the coverage, right? First, if you don't see the run, you got to backpedal and look at the field and see what's happening. To have a guy run past you and you look at him like you collecting a fare card or Metro, as long as he got his fare card, he can go by. Yeah, he's like the guys in the kiosk, right? You got your card, your easy pass, you can go on by. That's ridiculous. It's just like basic football that they're missing, and that's got all 11 of those guys can't be like that's football the point. It's like, inaccurate, right?
And I'm looking at this game, and I figure, so I'm looking at the game, and I'm like, all right, we've got a show we've got to do tomorrow, you know. We text a little bit during the game, and last night I didn't know what to think. I said, you know, let me just go to sleep, digest it a little bit, and I'll get up early in the morning. I'll start thinking about it. I'll read a little bit, and so I'm reading this morning, and I'm just thinking about the game. I'm going over a few things going over a couple of plays, looking at some stuff on the internet, and I'm just trying to think to myself, you know, how do I feel about this? And I said, by the time the show starts, I'll have something. I'll have some reaction. I'll have some analysis deeper than just what we see on the, you know, what we saw in the game. And I don't have anything. Like, who is the team? This is what I'm trying to figure out. You know, you come into the season, you see this offense, you got DeSean Jackson, you know, Andre Roberts, you've got these guys, you've got Alfred Morris, you know what you have in him, you know what you have in Pierre Garçon. Yeah, Jordan Reed got hurt, but you've got other weapons. And I'm trying to figure out, surely this team will be able to put up points. And then, you know, not many points against the Texans, you know, in that loss at all. Then they come out looking like gangbusters against Jacksonville. And yeah, Jacksonville's, you know, probably the worst team in the league. And so you expect that. And they put up big points against Philadelphia. So you're like, okay, they can put up points. And they come out and they look like they don't know what they're doing against the Giants. And the defense still can't stop anybody.
Yeah, well, like I said,
you're Houston or you're Jacksonville, this defense can't stop you.
Well, I told you my thoughts about the defense and what they tried to sell you this year about why Haslett was still here.
You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled.
I tried to tell people. Why is Haslett? That's one of the questions that I'll have to ask George Wilson.
Why
this
time is he still employed?
Why is he still here? What was there about last year that made somebody say, "Oh, you know what? You can do better."
Right.
What was there about him that I just don't see?
One question is: Do you think that somewhere in some room on some recliner sofa, some recliner seat, Mike Shanahan sitting somewhere and like RG3 injury prone, can't play, check. Jim Haslett can't coach defense, check, on his I told you so list.
No, well, he probably had somebody do something to the field. I don't think he and RG were the best of friends. Yeah. But he brought Haslett here.
Right.
Haslett wouldn't have been anywhere around here if it wasn't for this man.
Now, you talked about being had, hoodwinked. Look,
bamboozled.
Is that the case with Kirk Cousins? I mean, you know, you look at it, is Kirk Cousins, for those who want him to be the starting quarterback here or believe he's this great quarterback, are they more in love with the idea of Kirk Cousins than they are with the reality of Kirk Cousins? Because I've been one who thought that, I mean, he plays pretty well in that system. But is that more of a love fest with the idea than the reality?
Well, I happened to hear a couple of those same fans last night after Kirk Cousins' performance, the ones who didn't want RG3, wanted Kirk to start. They had a message for RG3. Yeah, so, but you know, Kurt's a good backup quarterback. He's good. He's good.
Look,
but here's the thing, though. Kurt threw 47 times 4 days ago.
Right.
47 times. They burned the guy's arm out and then expected him to do it again today. I mean, the man's only human, and that's unnatural. First of all, wait a minute. Let me interject this right there. I hate I don't hate a lot of things. I hate Thursday night football.
Yeah, me too.
There's no reason to play Thursday night football in the world.
The only time football should be played on Thursday is on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
It should not be Thursday night football.
But this is a prime example of why there shouldn't be, because this guy threw 47 times. His arm should be in an ice bath. Right?
Yeah. No, look. Here's the thing. Well, here's one thing Kirk Cousins is learning about being a starting quarterback is the minute you don't play well, everybody wants the other guy in.
Now he's got to see how that feels. I was looking for Colt McCoy. Where's Colt?
Every quarterback has those games, you know. And last year, Kurt did show, the turnover prone play because he had a few games that was like that. I think in all of his starts, he's thrown 14 touchdowns, but has 15 interceptions. And so, you know, he will turn the ball over, and he's shown that. But at the same time, you know, I'm not sure if you can put the whole blame of this game on Kirk Cousins. Now, don't get me wrong. When you throw 3 interceptions in 5 attempts, that's a lot of interceptions per pass.
The ratio is a little high.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if you can put the whole blame on Kirk Cousins. I'm not, you know, and you look at this, and maybe the reason is you can't point the blame at just one thing when it came to this game. That's why I'm so confused. You're trying to figure out, you know, well, who is this team? And maybe, like we talked to, and we'll ask George this when we have him, you know, I asked him a question in week one, who is this team? You know, is this team, you know, what we saw against Houston, or are they better than that? And maybe they are what we saw against Houston. Maybe the defense is just not all that great. And maybe the offense will struggle to score. But who knows? I mean, you know, we still – that's the thing. I don't know what they are. I know what you are doing. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Kevin, one thing, the special teams didn't lose the game.
Oh, yeah. You're looking for bright spots. Yeah. You're looking for bright spots. Yeah, they didn't lose the game. They probably just as stunned as we were. And there were some accomplishments. There were some achievements. Did you see the stat they were showing in the past 3 years – that the teams with the most turnovers in the league, Washington was number 3, and Detroit was, I forget who was number 1, but last night they moved up to number 2. Right?
and I think, weren't the Giants
number one? Right?
I think the Giants were number 1, Detroit was number 2, and the Skins were number 3, and then they did pass,
so there have been some accomplishments. One of my favorite movies in the world, Undercover Brother. I was trying to find the quote, but there's a very significant quote here. The quote is, "It's times for falling apart, and it's times for getting funky. This is one of those funky times." Now, if they make a stand and realize, hey, we just got embarrassed on national television, it's got to be something within these guys as individuals that say, I can't let this happen. I just got embarrassed on national television. Fortunately, it was Thursday night football. Nobody was watching, but I just got embarrassed. So I'm going to have to man up, and I can't let my career go down like this.
Now, the question is, you know, we evaluating this game, we started to talk about questions regarding Kirk Cousins. We talked about questions with the defense and Jim Haslett. At what point do you think there will be questions regarding Jay Gruden and whether he's the right hire or whether he's in over his head, whether he'll ever pan out? Because, you know, we like to jump to quick analysis.
Yeah, we do.
In sports in general. And yeah, it's the first time head coach, first year. But at what point do you start to question, was this the right hire? Is it at 1-5? Because the next two opponents, I mean, you got Seattle here. And yeah, the Skins have extra days to rest. But Seattle had a bye week coming up this week. And so they're going to have 2 weeks. And then you got to go to Arizona, which is not going to be an easy game. Arizona's 3-0 right now. And then you've got the injuries still starting to pile up. At what point do you say,
Do you want to be fair or do you want to be unfair?
I want to be unfair.
If you want to be unfair, I was thinking that last night. But then again, is it his fault that the defensive coordinator is there? Is he, defensive coordinator is putting him in a position where his offense is vulnerable because they're exposed. They have to be. They have no chance for a ball control offense because they always having to come from behind. last week they were exposed, by Nick Foles of all people. But this week, Eli Manning has won two Super Bowls. He knows a little bit about the game. He knows how to read defenses.
Right.
So for Phil Simms, a potential, is he in the Hall of Fame? If not, he should be. To say that Eli knows where he's going with the ball before the snap, that means from the booth, he can look at the defense and see what's happening.
Right.
I can look at the defense and see what's happening. I know if you go straight down the middle past the linebackers, there's a touchdown.
Right.
But, okay, let's put fairness into the game now. You got to give Gruden a chance. You got to give him a chance, number one, to find his own defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You got to give him a chance to find out his identity as a head coach. If you're looking... A lot of times people will hate when we look in the past and compare things to the Joe Gibbs era. But you got to look at when Joe Gibbs first got here. Joe Gibbs came with the Air Coryell offense and wanted to bring that to the East Coast. When Joe Gibbs and that team were 0-5, the Washington football franchise led the league in offense. Led the league in offense, 0-5. But he looked at the team he had. He looked at the players he had. He looked at their capabilities. And he designed his offense to meet the talent of the people he had. He didn't try to force them to do what he thought was brilliant in his own mind. And that's what's happening with this team right now. It might look good on paper, but you got to look at what these guys' capabilities are. And as a coach, your job is to put them in the best position to make full use of those capabilities. That's not happening right now. Rookie head coach, I want to give him time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Phil Simms not in the Hall of Fame, by the way. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I still don't know what to think. Kevin's angry. Want to know what you think? You can email us at ffr@federalnewsradio.com. We've got George Wallace coming up. We've got tons of questions. I don't know if we have enough time, but we'll try to get all these
questions.
Maybe George can help me out and let me know how I ought to feel.
And before we go to break, RG3.
Baby, come back.
We weren't singing that 2 weeks ago. We weren't singing that last week. This is how fast the tables turn here in Washington when you're talking about the starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
Now, back to the Federal Football Report with Kevin and Claude. Man, they'll give anybody a radio show these days.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We're talking about the Redskins game last night. Bad loss to the New York Giants. Joining us now is Burgundy and Gold reporter for WTOP, our guy, George Wallace. George, thanks for joining us this morning, man.
Claude, great to be here. And Claude, hey, welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, spent some time in Vegas. Thank God I didn't.
I hope you didn't put any money on this game last night.
Definitely a no. Now, look, before we talk about X's and O's, man, and get into the game, let's talk a little bit about feelings and the mood. You know, when I watched the game last night, the team just didn't seem ready to play or up for the game. Did it seem that way to you prior to the game and even during the game?
Yeah, no, you're right, and that's a big problem. And I know it was a short week, but look, it was a short week for the Giants as well. Now, Jay Gruden going on a short week for the first time in his career, so this is the first time he's had to coach up on a short week. Now, what they did was they didn't have any practices. They had walkthroughs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it was all mental. They weren't even in any sort of helmets or pads or anything because of the game that just took place on Sunday. And if you remember the Eagles game, that was a bruiser. I mean, that was a good old-fashioned NFC East throwdown, including the brawl in there. So they were beat up, and they, you know, Jay Gruden said it after the game last night. He says, we didn't have these guys ready to play, and you could tell that they weren't ready to play. And it's a little disappointing because you had such a, you know, they lost the game in Philadelphia, yes, and it's all about winning, I get that. But they were able to probably take some things from that game that they did well and kind of translate it into last night and maybe keep this ball rolling a little bit and take some of the good things. Cousins played well. You know, they didn't finish the game, but now that's the next step you take. But then last night, especially with you coming in against the NFC East division, a rival, the Giants, you don't want to go 0-2 in the division. You don't want to start 0-3, and then you come out flat like that at home. It's a little disappointing. Mm-hmm.
George, it was obvious to me, and it was obvious at the end of the Philly game that Kurt was losing a couple of miles an hour off his fastball. His arm just wasn't the same early as it was late. And he threw 47 times on Sunday.
Right.
It seemed like they would have had a more ball control minded offense game plan in mind as opposed to having him throw the ball so often. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Kevin, no, I agree with you. And I thought they would have come out and run the ball more, too, because let's face it, I mean, down 24-7 at the half, okay, then you come out in the second half, you put that nice drive together, Morris gets to the end zone, it's a 10-point game, and, you know, then you kind of start to ball control a little bit more, knowing that it's within striking distance. But then in that third quarter, he throws three interceptions, and overall it was four picks and five drives for the Redskins. So they were just came out slinging the ball. So I was a little surprised at that as well, especially with, you know, especially in this division and NFC East and Redskins, I mean, you got to run the football. And they've said that time in and time out from the beginning of the season. And I just thought you would have seen a little bit more of it last night. I agree with you. But then again, you know, okay, they didn't run the ball much, and he was airing it out. But then you look at some of the numbers. DeSean Jackson, one catch, you can't have that either. You need to get these guys more involved.
Well, now when you talk about Kirk Cousins, George, after the game, you know, you could clearly see during the game that, you know, he had his head down. He obviously felt, you know, bad, like the weight of the world. I mean, the weight of the game was on his shoulders. After the game, did it seem to bother him that much after the game? Is this something that it seems like he'll be able to rebound from, or do you think this will kind of, you know, stick with him like a bad scar?
Yeah, Claude, I don't know, because you're right. He was definitely – you could definitely tell after the game that the weight was on his shoulders. I mean, he took the blame, and he keeps saying that it's a learning experience for him again and this and that. And, you know, each time he goes out there, he gets experience, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you know, and I understand it's a process. I understand it's a whole process. They talk about with Robert Griffin III and everything like that. But, you know, you cannot have games like that you had last night in the National Football League and expect to win games. I mean, and the road only gets tougher from here on out. So I may have, you know, last night, knowing that nothing was going right and knowing that you're going to need Cousins down for the next 4 or 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I may have made the switch to McCoy just to get a spark maybe last night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're going to stick with Cousins. I mean, this is, you know, Gruden said it afterwards. They're going to try and get him ready to go. But it's going to be very interesting now to see how he bounces back, because since that first half in Philadelphia, I mean, that second half, he didn't have much success. We saw him throw the pick, and then the last drive, he needed 10 yards to get in field goal range, threw three incomplete passes. Last night, didn't really have it at all. So mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how it bounces back after, 11 days off, and then the defending champion Seahawks come to town. Oh, and it doesn't get any easier after that either. They have to go to undefeated Arizona on a short week.
Right.
But, hey, I'm just looking ahead.
And right, I mean, yeah, having those days off, but the Seahawks has a bye week this weekend, and so they have even more time off. So you just talked about the process with Kirk. Of course, you're going through the process. Everything's a learning experience, and that's fine, except the other quarterback is also going through a learning experience and going through a process. And am I the only one who think, you know, maybe we should be a little worried having two young quarterbacks both trying to learn, both going through a process, that you really don't have anyone with any kind of experience right now leading this team, and how can we feel good about that? I mean, worst case scenario, we don't know. Right now, we don't know for the most part what either one of those quarterbacks truly are or what they can be. We know what RG3's potential can be, but we don't really know what either one of them will settle at once they're done learning and growing. And it's very possible that you may have two quarterbacks who can't play. Am I who's worried about that?
No, and that was the discussion a lot of last night in the press box, too, because you don't know what you have in Griffin. You're right. You see the potential. The ceiling's very high. And you don't know what you have here either. So it's for two guys that are learning and now learning a second system.
Right.
Granted, some of it's still the same from the Shanahans, but you're now two guys in their third year learning their second system. And it's, you know, I understand the patience. I agree with you. But at the same time, it's, okay, at some point, things are going to have to start clicking, and you don't know, you still don't know what you have. I will tell you this, though, for everybody that's been talking about, you know, Cousins better fitted to lead this team and more potential than Robert Griffin III, I don't think you would have seen Griffin have a game like he did Cousins had last night. So I would hope that now people can understand that maybe this, you know, that Griffin on his best day is best suited for this team. Now, Cousins, he reiterated again last week that this is Robert's team, but that doesn't mean he can't come in here and perform well, move the ball down the field, and get some wins, and then hand the ball back to Robert when he comes back. But you're going to have to see better performances than you saw last night for sure, because you see a couple more of these guys. I don't know. I would. You could start asking for Colt McCoy at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, maybe he said this was Robert's team saying, hey, I don't want this guy. I don't want this team. But look, let's not throw all the burden of this fiasco on the offense now, because we had a defense last night who acted like they didn't know how to play defense. I've never seen linebackers who refused to drop back in coverage just like they were nailed to the ground. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you realize this, but during the broadcast, Phil Simms said that Eli Manning knew where he was going with the ball before the ball was snapped. Now, let me ask you this, George. Let's be revisionist for a minute. Haslett was here when Gruden got here. Whose idea was that? Who? I mean, yeah, I want that guy. Was Gruden involved in that process, or did he just inherit Haslett?
I think it's a combination of both. I think that Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder understood that last year Jim Haslett had his hands tied by the previous head coach and was not allowed to do everything that he wanted to do during games. And Haslett, at one point, was a head coach in the UFL and Gruden was on his staff. So they have the familiarity there, and I think they're giving Haslett a chance to do his thing now with all the, you know, the reins are off, and just go do your thing. And then if it doesn't work now, then okay, then we'll revisit this down the road. But I think that it was always from the beginning they realized that Mike Shanahan was handcuffing Jim Haslett, so they're allowing him to run his defense. Now, that being said, the fact that you have Ryan Clark, who's in his mid-30s, you had D'Angelo Hall, who's 30 years old, was no spring chicken, as he said it. Mm-hmm. Brandon Merriweather, who you don't know when he'll be able to stay on the field because of suspensions. And then you've got rookie secondary back there. So they didn't really do much to address this secondary, and that's always been a problem. They have not addressed this in so many years. So what do you really expect? That's my thing. And, you know, Brandon Merriweather doesn't look like he's ready to play football yet. You have linebackers trying to cover. The fact that a tight end, that Donnell caught 3 touchdowns and the other tight end caught the other one, the fact that that tight end caught 4 touchdowns last night is beyond ridiculous.
Well, you looked at him, like I said, in pass coverage, even in peewee football, you teach guys how to backpedal and read what's in front of them and don't let the guy behind you. And it's like they were lost, and there were attempts, according to the announcers last night, to confuse the New York offense, and they ended up confusing themselves more.
Themselves, yeah. And the fact that you didn't get you one sack on Eli Manning, that's not good either, because you didn't get to get pressures on him, and they were unable to do that. Arakpo and Kerrigan on the edge, Hatcher up the middle. I mean, you should be able to get some pressure on Eli. I would like to have seen that a little more. But, yeah, I mean, you look, Bashaud Breeland, you know, the Redskins coaching staff has it, and Raheem Morris love him. Loved him from day one. Chase Minifield, they loved last year. Now he's up. But you have Amerson and Breeland. Amerson, a second-year guy, and Breeland, a rookie, starting at cornerback. So you're going to expect some bumps in the road. But, you know, it's like you said, basic stuff, and it's just not getting it done.
Hey, George, I know they love him, but I love chocolate cake, and it's not good for me, right?
Right. We'll see how much they love him after a few more performances like last night. Although you're always going to love chocolate cake.
Right, true.
You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We've got Burgundy and Gold beat reporter for WTOP, George Wallace, with us. So, George, okay, so the Skins are 1-3 now. It's easy for the here-we-go mentality to kind of creep back into the locker room at 1-3, and especially after this big loss to the Giants. What did you get as far as the mood of the players post-game? You know, I mean, it's hard to be up after a bad loss like that, but there's also this sense of we can bounce back, we can correct things. Or did you get a sense of a oh God, here we go, another 3-13 season on the horizon?
No, I think that they realized that. I mean, they were pretty. It was pretty grim in there last night, to say the least. I mean, they know that they're lost for words. And Arakpo basically said it. And, you know, he said he didn't want to say the wrong thing by going on camera early on. Jason Hatcher didn't want to really say much. And Darrell Young said it too. He says, you know, nobody in here wants to go 1-15. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to shut up and start playing ball and do what we know we can do. So I think that they have the confidence in that locker room. I think last night was just a kick to the gut for sure. Mm-hmm. The thing that kind of surprised me a little bit, guys, and tell me what you think about this, is, you know, Alfred Morris talking about this was a wake-up call, and guys talking about wake-up call. Well, you were 3-13 last year, and you beat a Jacksonville team that is just awful 2 weeks ago. So I don't know where they really thought they were or where all this confidence over all of a sudden all came from. But the fact that you had a wake-up call after a game like that last night, it's kind of disturbing a little bit. I mean, you know, they played well in Philadelphia, but the bottom line is they still lost the game. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. But, you know, I think that they were definitely down, definitely upset, and I think that they don't want to creep into that mentality of here we go again like last year, because they think they have a lot more playmakers on this team, which I think they do too. I mean, just look at the offensive side of the football, but you have to get them involved. And, they, you know, the additions they made on defense, I mean, they came into the game top five in offense and defense and yards. So, you know, they know they have the talent to do it. It's just a matter of putting it all together. And I think that is what is upsetting and confusing to them right now.
George, with the injuries to D-Hall and RG3, where is the leadership going to come from this team? Because someone's actually going to have to step up and demonstrate some resolve. And I've heard it said that when a player is injured, the other players sort of like shy away from him, almost as if they thought they might catch the injury or something. So who is going to have to be the one? Who's going to have to be the unsung hero here who's going to have to step up and demonstrate some leadership on and off the field?
Well, you've got Trent Williams, your offensive captain, and we haven't talked about him yet going down with that knee injury. He says he's going to have an MRI today on it, so we'll see how bad that is, which is not good. But he's been a leader, and the guys have looked up to him and have talked about him being a leader on and off the field. He stepped into that role. And you got a guy like Ryan Clark, who's definitely loves to talk, but he's you know, he's kind of that veteran presence as well. So they're going to have to look to guys like that. I still say Santana Moss is a great leader in the locker room. Unfortunately, he's not going to get on the field, but I think he's still a good leader in that locker room. And, you know, they're all going to have to kind of come together. Guys like D.Y., Darrell Young, who's been here for a while, he knows that locker room real well. Players look up to him as far as the leadership role as well. So it's going to have to come from different parts of that locker room. But, you know, some of those guys I just mentioned are going to have to take over the reins here.
Yeah, that's interesting. Going back to the comment you made a couple moments ago about Alfred Morris and the wake-up call, you know, the wake-up call for me came in week one, 17-6 loss to the Texans.
Right.
You know, all these weapons, and we're just putting up 6 points. And I know the Texans' defense, you know, is pretty stout. But at the same time, this offense is supposed to be really, really good. And I asked you this in week one, and I'm just going to re-ask this question. Who is this team? Who are they? You know, are they the team that we saw against the Texans that can barely score? Or are they the team that we saw last week against the Eagles who can put up tons of points on the board? Or are they the team that we saw against the Giants, again, who's going to struggle to score, can't force turnovers, can't get sacks, is going to turn the ball over? Who are they? I don't know who they are. I don't know. George, I opened the show this way. I said, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel because I don't know.
Help the man.
I don't know who I'm looking at. I don't know who this team is.
Help him, George.
I think you and 80,000 people that were in that stadium last night are asking the same question, because it is kind of frustrating, because you see what the offense can do when they are rolling and they are in a rhythm, when Cousins is getting the ball out quick and he's finding receivers. And you know, that's the way the offense is supposed to look, what you saw last week in Philadelphia, at least in that first half. Now, can they get there and maintain it consistently? That's the big question, and that's how you win in the NFL. With all the weapons they have on offense, there should be no reason why they can't. The offensive line is still a problem. Sean Laval went down. He didn't play last night. Tyler Palamas, you saw what kind of shaky game he had, and now Trent Williams hurt again as well. So that's going to be a big question mark. You know, if the line can't block anybody for Alfred or Roy Helu or give Cousins time or Griffin time, then you're not going to be able to see the weapons get involved. So that's going to be a big thing. And if injuries do continue to pile up there, they're going to have to come up with some different ways to move the pocket, get these guys on the run, you know, throw some screens, which we didn't see much of last night at all. So I think they're still trying to figure it out themselves. The thing that you can – I don't even know if you can really hang your hat on this or not, but what you saw in Philadelphia is the way it's supposed to look. Now, whether or not they can get there, I don't know.
Well, George,
I don't think anybody knows.
I tell you this, when Pete Carroll comes into town, I think he's going to be in the mindset that he's going to have to go for as many points as he can to win the national championship, right? So, you know, if they better come up with some answers quickly, because I don't think that Marshawn Lynch and Richard Sherman, these guys, are going to have any pity on them.
Oh, no way. You're kidding? The Seahawks, after they lost to the Chargers last week, you know, that really fired them up. Now they're coming off a bye. They come in here defending champs. You know what happened last time they were on this field. Sherman got into it with Trent Williams. you know, the playoff game, and you know how Carroll is. I mean, these guys, especially on national television, no, there's not going to be any. And if this team, look, 0-6 in the last primetime games with the Redskins, so it'd be a nice time to turn it around against Seattle, but I just don't know about that, guys.
Thanks for those words of encouragement.
Well, at least
hey, look, anytime like
well, at least we know what it's supposed to look like. We don't know who this team is right now, but we know who he is. He's the Burgundy and Gold Beat reporter for WTOP. That's our guy. He's so good at what he does. George Wallace, thank you so much for joining us on the Federal Football Report.
Anytime, Claude. You going to be around? You going to be around next couple weeks?
yeah.
I don't know. He was saying some nice stuff about Vegas, man. I don't know. He might be our remote correspondent.
If you're not, please take Kevin and I with you next time.
you got it. No problem, George. Right. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, George.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so coming up next on the Federal Football Report, we'll take a look at some emails. We'll also talk about the NFC East, what's coming up this weekend, and we'll preview the Redskins matchup with Seattle. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio 1500. AM at federalnewsradio.com. Too many F words in that title, except the one we can't say. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Claude Jennings in studio with Kevin Stanfield. We're pushing through this one. It's a tough show to do. It's a tough game last night. Redskins fall big to the Giants.
Putrid.
We're still going to push through it. We had George Wallace on, and he tried to make things better, but I don't know if he succeeded in that. Only time makes this better. I'll tell you what will make it better, Kevin. A win will make this better.
Make me feel better.
Yeah, with one win, next thing you know, everything's back to normal, and we're all feeling good about it. George, thanks, George, for joining us this last segment. So good at what he does. He also sent you some sound, Kevin, of Kirk Cousins. We're going to give Kurt a chance to kind of explain himself.
Yeah, you know, in the locker room, George went down, talked to a couple of guys, and he asked Kurt, what happened?
What happened, I would say, you know, from the quarterback standpoint, turned the ball over too much, especially the first two interceptions when we still were in it, you know, really hurt. And, you know, I felt like, especially the first one, it's third down, we're moving the ball, we're coming back. I feel like we were in it, and, you know, had that been a conversion, had I, you know, not turned the ball over there, I think, you know, you'd like to think the game could have taken on a lot different tail.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he gave it to us from the quarterback's perspective, right?
Because that's kind of what we're looking for.
but
you know, he's right. That first interception came at the point where it was right after that first touchdown in the third quarter, that first drive to bring it to 24-14. They get the ball back, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. We could be looking at something here. And then the interception.
So. Yeah, but also, let's not forget that the turnovers started when he fumbled the ball on the sack. You know, the offensive line didn't really protect him. To me, he had room to step up into the pocket because the guys came from both ends, both defensive ends came. And quarterback's got to have the head on the swivel. That's part of his job, too. You can't just lock on one guy. You got to realize that these Giants are.
And you got to be able to feel the pressure. You know, got to be able to feel the pocket collapsing. And yeah, it was on his blind side. But again, you know, in the big leagues, you got to know when that's coming. You've got to know in your head the pocket clock. When is it time to step up, and when is it time to get rid of that ball?
Yeah, now Kurt was also asked the effect that throwing the picks had on him, if maybe he was trying to like overcompensate, do too much after the pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly played a part of it. I was trying to get everything back in one play, and you can't do that. That's not the way it's going to come back. So I was starting to force things and trying to do too much, and I just didn't stay true to my reads and stay patient. So, you know, I'm going to learn from it, but, you know, not a good outing tonight.
Yeah, not good. You know, one thing about Kurt that I appreciate, I was listening to the post-game show on the local radio station that covers the Redskins, and they straight up asked him, you know, did you lose your composure? He said, yeah, I did, you know, and, you know, I'll give him credit for that, because a lot of times, guys, I don't know whether it's pride or what, they don't want to say that they lost their composure. You know, I made some bad throws, I'll rebound, you know, but I was under control. And he said, no, you know what, I did lose it, you know, and I lost my composure, so I'll give him a little bit of credit for that. Yeah, that doesn't count for a win.
Yeah,
it doesn't count for anything. I mean, that Claude Jennings is giving you credit for something. I mean, it doesn't count for much, but, you know, I'll give him credit for that. I admire that.
Well, I agree with you, Kurt. You did lose your composure. He said something like similar to that right here.
Yeah, that's, you know, why you don't want to get behind, why you don't want to turn the ball over in the first place.
right.
You know, and it just snowballs because you put your defense then behind the eight ball when they have a short field to defend. And, you know, there were just too many times tonight where I or we made mistakes, and it just made things that much harder to come back from.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, when you get into the point where you're turning the ball over and you give your defense, who's already been torched most of the night, a short field to try to defend, it doesn't help the effort to win. But like you said, it also, you know, if you don't keep your composure, if you feel like you said a couple clips ago, that you have to get it all back in one play, you know, that's just the wrong mentality. At some point, you know, you've got to stick to the game plan, and you may feel like you want to get it all back in one play. I think about, I was just in Vegas, how you may lose some money and you think, all right, I'm going to get it all back this next hand. That's the worst thing you can do. Don't bet it all on the next hand. No, wait and work your plan, you know, and they just didn't do that. I mean, they just got outplayed last night. They just got outplayed at every single position.
If you had adopted that philosophy when you were in Vegas, you'd still be in Vegas and we'd be doing this over the phone.
Because I don't have any money to get back home. Right. Or anything else. Yeah, so, you know, it's just a bad loss altogether, man.
Well, there
it's
were some bright spots. Like you said, that drive, the opening drive of the second half when Alfred Morris had the big run. Use Alfred Morris more.
Yeah,
he commented on that big drive.
Yeah, we were right there, and we scored the first drive coming out the second half. So, you know, we were doing good things, and there were parts in the first half where we felt like we probably should have been, you know, a lot better off than we were with the score was at halftime. So all the way through, we felt like we were right there until I think those turnovers started to really kill us.
Yep, that they did.
good way to analyze it.
And look, I got one more cut here from Kurt. They asked Kurt if he had any messages to send to Robert Griffin III if we happened to run into him.
That's too funny. His job's not easy. I said it earlier in the show. One thing you learn about being a starting quarterback in this league, the minute you start making mistakes or you're throwing all these interceptions, you can go from the most popular guy on the team to the most hated guy on the team in just one game. I mean, it was just after the Philadelphia loss where it was, you know, we're putting up points and, man, you know, Kurt lost the game late, but wow, what an offensive display. And then, you know, the game against Jacksonville, you know, he's getting this offense, even in the preseason, he's picking up this offense better than RG3 is and blah, blah, blah. And then one loss with what, 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions, 3 and 5 attempts. Next thing you know, we're playing Baby Come Back on the Federal Football Report. Meanwhile, you are listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Kevin, before we jump into, I don't want to pick on Kurt, but I got an email from Steve in Landover asking, is Kirk Cousins, to kind of, I guess, do a hit on the Dennis Green clip, is he who we thought he was? And, I mean, and you know, it depends on who you thought he was.
That's,
you know,
true,
Steve. I mean, if you thought he was a great starting quarterback, look, so many of these guys. Eli won 2 Super Bowls, and his last year and a half has just been an interception fest. I mean, guys struggle, and so, you know, if you thought he could be a good starter in this league or a great quarterback in this league or the better quarterback for this team, he possibly could be. You just don't. The point gets back to what I was talking to George Wallace about. You have 2 young quarterbacks who both are still learning, who both are developing, who both are trying to get experience, and you don't know what you have in either one of them. Right now, look, RG3 is all about potential and what he did in that first season with the Redskins. And that, as we know, was with a limited playbook and with something that Kyle Shanahan kind of tailor-made to him to get him through his first year. And so we still don't know the totality of who he will be. We see the potential, but we don't know. Even with Kirk Cousins, we see what the potential is with him, but we don't know ultimately what he will be. And so is he who we thought he was? Who knows what? It just depends on what you thought he was. And even though you don't know what he's going to be. It's too early to tell. You can't write him the same way you can't anoint him, the next Tom Brady because of what he did in Jacksonville and what he did against the Eagles. You can't, say he's the next Ryan Leaf because of what he did last night. You just don't know.
Kirk Cousins is a good backup quarterback.
We know what he is. What he is today is the backup quarterback of the Washington Redskins,
right,
and he's
right,
playing
right.
because RG3 is out. And when that changes, then he will be that.
Yeah, and you know, from the beginning, the fans who thought that Kirk was better suited to run this offense, he might be for a half. Unfortunately, football game is 4 quarters long, and I got to put a lot of this on the coaching staff to put him in that position. Can you reiterate again? If so, I'm about to do that. He threw 40 seven times 4 days ago. Uh-huh. And then they expect him to come out, and his arm was just tired. His arm gives out after a good three quarters, and to expect him to do that, I think, was totally unreasonable. And I do think we know what we have as far as the quarterbacks go, because we saw what Robert Griffin III could do. He came in and he innovated the game as a rookie. He wasn't intimidated. He made people react to him. And
we know what he can do and who he is if they allow him to be that.
Yes,
the
that's
question
the problem.
Is, will they allow him to be that?
If they don't.
And can he still do that with,
I'm
you
sure
know.
He can. I'm sure he can, but you know, you like you said, you got to allow him to do it. And you look at from the coaching, you can't fire the coach already. He's only had four games. I mean, if that was the case, Joe Gibbs has never been here. He wouldn't win any Super Bowl. But you look at a guy like Jim Harbaugh. You look at Pete Carroll. You look at the coach in Philadelphia. Young guys who come from college who take advantage of the new type of NFL player. Right. The guys are quicker. They're faster. Right. They're smarter. I would say that, and they're open to innovation. Mm-hmm. You can't teach these guys the same way you taught the old bruisers.
You know, and we talked about this in the first 2 weeks, man. And I'm just going to continue to beat this drum. You're taking a guy RG3 who throughout his football career, I'm talking about all the way through Pee Wee League, and we know what that's like, where he's probably been told to run the ball. You know what I mean? Go back to pass. Run the ball. Through high school, I bet his legs were the best weapon. Throughout Baylor, yeah, he'd throw the ball, but it was a quick spread offense, didn't really have a playbook, and he ran. And now all of a sudden you're trying to change years and years and years and years of being allowed to use your legs, and you think he's going to, you know, all of a sudden be Peyton Manning in the pocket. He's not, you know. You're probably better suited to allow him to use his number one weapon, and if it's only good for 4 to 5 years, it'll be the best 4 to 5 years, you know, of quarterbacking that this city has seen in a long time, and it will be electrifying, and he will reach ultimately the height of his potential because you're allowing him to use what he does best.
Yeah. Build the team around him. Don't put him in the box. Mm-hmm. You know, Kurt's going to have to hold down the fort until RG3 comes back. That's a fact. And like I said, Seattle's coming. They're not going to have any mercy on Kurt.
they couldn't care less.
Yeah, they could care less if he's a backup quarterback.
But I'll tell you what, by the way, you talked about Alfred Morris yesterday, 12 carries, man. 12 carries. Yeah, there's no way that should happen. That should be what he had in the first half. 12 carries. And again, after that first touchdown in the third quarter, they were only down, 24 to 14. There's no reason to abandon the run that early in the game.
There's no reason to abandon the run. Run the ball. Now, I'm not sure if Jay Gruden is listening or not, but yeah, by all means, run the ball. That does a number of things. That establishes dominance on the offensive line. That's the first thing. When you get it in these guys' head that my job is to physically influence the guy in front of me. Mm-hmm. As Russ Grimm used to say, impose my will on him. Right. Make him turn right or left because that's what the play calls for. That establishes dominance. Then you're in the head of the defensive player, so you can eliminate some of that pass rush.
That's the thing. Some of the best things you can do for pass rush, you know, to establish the running game, because then you can go play action pass. You can freeze those linebackers.
You can do anything. Yeah, yeah. So you got to change
that philosophy. We make it sound so easy. Why aren't we coaching?
Good question. I was thinking that last night. Why am I not coaching this team? But you got, you know, this it's not hard. It's like Vince Lombardi says. It's running and blocking and tackling, throwing and catching. George Allen used to have an expression about passing the ball, because George Allen used to, you know, sometimes those guys only pass maybe 15 times a game. Uh-huh. He said, when you pass, only three things can happen, and two of them are bad.
Interception, incompletion.
You got to change. You say, who is this team? This team is going to have to be a grinded out, rock 'em, sock 'em.
And why wouldn't you? And why wouldn't you when you have Alfred Morris? It's so funny. And I know, you know, the differences between the pro game and the college game, you know, is night and day. But Colin Cowherd on ESPN Radio made a great point about this. When you look at some of the traditional powerhouses lately in college football, the guys who are successful now, you know, although everybody's doing this spread stuff and, you know, spread offenses and all these little crazy things, the guys who have the big offensive lines, the big defensive lines, the guys who can pound the ball, Alabama, Stanford, you know, these guys are who they are because they're sticking with that traditional, and things go in cycles.
Right.
But I think it's not necessarily the style, more so than develop your style around the personnel. There's no debating that even though they've got these weapons on the outside, the Redskins need to be a running team. They need to pound the ball and let everything else, deep to DeSean Jackson or whatever you want to do, come off of the running game and being able to pound the ball?
Well, I mean, you look at the guys we just mentioned, Chip Kelly, Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh. College innovators came into the pros, but they still rely on Marshawn Lynch. Yes, it's Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy. Mm-hmm. You got to base it on the running game, controlling the ball. It's not hard. Sometimes I think the guys might overthink the thing. You know, when you're smart, you have enough people telling you you're smart, you believe it yourself.
Right. Exactly. You know? Well, I don't have that problem. Nobody really tells me that too much. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Don't have a lot of time left, so let's take a look at the NFC East for this coming weekend. Sunday afternoon, the Eagles go to San Francisco to play the 1-2 49ers. Eagles 3-0. What do you see in that one?
I see a great game coming up here. You got, because Harbaugh and Kelly,
backs
sure.
Backs against the wall,
I know,
man.
Look, I know these guys don't like each other from way back, right? You know?
Right.
So
yeah.
You might see a brawl, like, remember when the Harbaugh hit the coach in the back that time? The Detroit coach. Yeah. But I think this is it. I think that these are guys who, these are both two teams who are pretty much signifying, you know, this is typical NFL, good NFL football right now.
Right.
So I think that's a good investment.
These
there.
These are two of the teams that are probably, like you said, a tier below Seattle in the NFC. I think
that's
we'll see a really good game. And we've got the Sunday night national game, the New Orleans Saints 1-2 traveling to the 2-1 Dallas Cowboys. What do you think of that?
Always a good game when these two when these two get together. And you have Rob Ryan, who used to be with the Cowboys, who always wants to
kind of stick it to the old team.
Wants to. And Tony Romo, one of those Tony Romos is going to show up.
Who
threw for 4 million yards against Denver last year. Or the one who'll throw 5 picks, like doing his best Kirk Cousins imitation. But another good game. This is the NFL. You got to love the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, last night's game aside, this has been some pretty good football. There have been some teams that are trying to maintain their dominance. Teams who people feel didn't have a chance, like the Cowboys, are trying to say, hey, and now you can add the Giants to that list.
Right.
Hey, we're still here. And then you got Seattle. You got the teams who are on the top and trying to maintain their hold as being the kings of the hill.
That's such a good point. I mean, like you said, you know, after that first week loss to the 49ers, everybody writing Dallas off. They won the last two games, and they've got a winnable game at home against the Saints. They end up being 3-1, and it's not, you know, out of the question that San Francisco can beat the Eagles. You got Dallas and the Eagles at 3-1 on top of the NFC East. Who would have thought that? And this is an exciting time in the football season. Look, this is going to be the fourth week where, look, we're going to see what teams really are in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes,
you know,
the
leaders will start to kind of separate themselves, and we'll kind of see who everybody is. We know who we are. You know what you're listening to. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Look, we'll get over this one. We're a little bit upset. I have an identity crisis. I'm trying to figure out who the team is, but we'll get over it. One thing that solves everything is winning. And so we'll see if they can get a win. Seattle coming off of a bye week, so they've got some time to rest up and come across town. But again, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, who knows what could happen. But either way, we'll be with you the day after that game. Now, that's a Monday night game, and so the next show will be a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. following the Monday night Redskins Seattle Seahawks game coming up in another week and a half. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Here's this week's message for RG3. This week's message is, baby, come back. You guys come back for the next edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.